question, and I was going to move on, and the Lord told me that he wanted me to back up and begin to show you that there's a second foundational thing that Jesus did when he was resurrected from the dead, and we need to begin to see this and understand it. And I began to see it, and I began to study it early in the morning, and God began to open my eyes to see some things that are very interesting. And Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I want you to see that when Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected, there's more reasons just than forgiveness of sins, and I would like you to see that this morning. So to do that, we need to turn to Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26 through 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the living thing that moveth upon the earth. I'm going to turn to Psalms chapter 8 so that we begin to see this even a more fuller light, that God gave to man the authority over the earth to be the ruler of it when he created him as the image of his likeness. This starts in verse 4 of chapter 8 of Psalms. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, have crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast made him to have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Adam was created, given this anointing, this garment of light, this image of God's likeness that gave him the dominion to basically to be sort of like the ruler of the earth. And all the creation that God created over this earth, he gave unto Adam to be the ruler of it. This also is confirmed in Hebrews, and the reason I'm doing this, you'll see at the end why I've done this. It'll all come together as the sermon unfolds. In Hebrews chapter 2, we begin to see the same truth. It goes on in verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than angels. I want you to see here that man's dominion, and hold on to this thought, because we'll come back to it later, that man's dominion was made a little lower than the angels. God gave an image of his likeness to Adam, which only consisted of a certain level or amount of rulership or dominion given to man. He was limited just to this earth. He was just the ruler of this earth. Got to understand that, because it's going to come into big play here. He goes on to say that he was made a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of the hands. In the Greek, that is not there. And we have to begin to ask the question, why is that not there? Because when Adam was given the authority to be the ruler over the earth, then when we come to Hebrews chapter 2, he does not have that authority or dominion to be ruler over this earth or over this world age or this world order. So what happened? We need to begin to see this so that we can begin to understand it, so that we can begin to understand the authority of God and the name of Jesus and the power that's in that name and the authority that he has given us to begin to walk in as his children on this earth. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in it he put all subjection unto him. He let nothing that is not put under him. But now notice this. But now we see not yet all things put under him. That rulership over the earth is now not ours. We lost it. Adam lost that rulership. He lost that dominion to be basically the god of this world or the ruler of this earth. And we'll see that in a moment. But now, yet see not all things put under him. Then in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So we begin to see here that God made Jesus to be like unto him, so that he could taste death, not only to take away the sins of our spirit, to break that nature of sin, that spiritual death, but also to break what Adam also lost in that sin. We'll see that in Genesis chapter 3. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but I need to build this truth so you begin to see it and understand it. In Genesis 3, we do know that God breathed into the nostrils after he formed a man with his hands. He breathed into his nostrils and he gave him life. Glory to God. Placed him in this garden. Gave him that authority to rule over everything that God created with his hands. But in verse 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the Lord said unto the woman, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He begins to change around the wording of God. He begins to play a mind game with Adam. He begins to play a spiritual reasoning or a mental reasoning game with Adam and Eve. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. He's already a god. He already has the rulership over the earth. He was created a little lower than the angels. He was placed in the garden with this authority to rule over all the works of God's hands. But we know the story. Eve partakes of that fruit that God commanded them not to. And all of a sudden, Adam next to her, beside her, also partakes of the fruit. And then by the end of the chapter, we see that they're hiding in the midst of the trees from the voice of God, walking in the cool of the day. And by the end, he's cast out of the garden to work by the fruit of his own hands. He lost that dominion. He lost that authority. So what happened to that authority? What happened to that dominion? Where did it go? We go over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we begin to get a picture of it. I know this is just a very basic teaching of this. I'm not going into depths of it because I'm building up to a point. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 it says, in whom the god of this world has blinded the mind. All of a sudden, Satan now, which was the serpent, is now beginning to be called the god of this world. Adam was given that dominion. He was given the rulership over this world. And all of a sudden, through sin, he lost that rulership, as we've seen over in Hebrews. So it almost looks like the devil becomes the god of this world. And he goes on in Ephesians chapter 2, and it goes on to tell you what his purpose is. It says, to blind the minds of them, believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He blocked the image of Adam's likeness of God that day by eating and disobeying the word of God. And he continues on that run to block the image of God likeness in our life, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Ephesians, it goes on to bear witness a little more. There was another tree in a garden called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that, if you study it out in 1 John, becomes the love of this world order, the lust of the mind, and the lust of the flesh. And in Ephesians 2, it goes on to tell you who operates in that knowledge of good and evil. In Ephesians 2, look at verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. He's a serpent crawling into the garden. Some say that he walked in. I don't know. But here Satan comes in as a serpent to tempt even Adam. And after they sin, he now is the prince of the air. He's the god of this world order. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our lifestyle in times past in the lusts of our flesh, the knowledge of good and evil. fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And I shared with you last couple weeks that when we accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, He broke that power of that nature of sin that we were born with, and He replaced it with the divine nature of God's eternal life, and that nature of sin was broken in our spirit through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But there's more. In Matthew chapter 4, he goes on to tell us something very interesting. Because there's a big argument that goes on over this truth, but I'm just laying it out so you think about this. In Matthew 4, the devil takes, in verse 5, takes Jesus up into high holy city. And he shows him all things. The Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. And Jesus said, it is written. Then in verse 8 again, the devil takes him up into exceeding high mountain and shows him all of the kingdoms of this world order. Shows them all in the realm of the Spirit. And the glory of them. And he said unto him, now this is the devil, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Over in Luke it says that it was given to me. I will give you this authority over the kingdoms of this world order because it was given unto me. So when was this authority to be the God of this world order given over to Satan? It has to be when Adam sinned and he lost that authority to rule over this world order as the God of this world order, or the ruler over the works of God's hand. So by the time we get to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, at the very ending there, it says, we don't see all things yet under our feet. And what was missing was that authority that Satan became the God of this world order. And so to begin to see this in a more light, we need now to go over, and we'll stay at this a little bit, in Colossians chapter 2. That was all to build up to so that I can sit and teach you a truth so that comes understanding in the redemption of the forgiveness of sins. In chapter 2, let's start with verse 11. In whom you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in a putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I shared with you, when you got born of the Spirit, you not only were baptized into his death, you also were baptized into his burial and also into his resurrection. And the purpose of that was to receive the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision in Abraham, was the removal of flesh to come into the seal of the covenant of his faith, the righteousness of his faith. But over in the New Testament, notice that this circumcision is made without hands, without man's hands. It's a spiritual circumcision, and that spiritual circumcision happens in our spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. When we say, Jesus, come into our heart, instantly the Spirit of God comes into our spirit and circumcises or removes that nature of sin out of our spirit and replaces it with the divine nature of God's eternal life. That hope of Christ that's in us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's the first part of the remission of sins. Buried with him in baptism, verse 12, wherein you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. So we see here that it was God's spiritual operation that took place when Jesus took our place, when he became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God. He took our place. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that he knew no sin, but he became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. God laid our sin nature upon Jesus, and he became separated from God. And in Acts chapter 2, it goes on to say that he was taken into Hades or into hell, where those that die separated from God go from this life. Isn't that interesting? Not only did Jesus take our sin nature, become sin for us, but also he went into hell for us, into Hades. And it goes on and says in Acts 2 that he was resurrected up after 3 days so that his flesh would see no corruption. I don't know if you remember the story of Lazarus, but they came to him and said, your friend Lazarus has just died. And he tells the boys, let's just sit here and wait. He's just sleeping. And Thomas says, well, if he's just sleeping, that'd be good for us too. And so finally Jesus said, no, Thomas, he's dead. He died. And the Jews believed that a spirit, their spirit that would depart out of the body, we learned in James that a body without a spirit is dead, like faith without works is dead. And so they believed that the spirit would hang around that body, and on the fourth day, the body would begin to corrupt, and the spirit would head into paradise of God. And so Jesus purposely waited 4 days so that they could see the glory of God manifested, because they now believed that Abraham was now dead. But before Jesus' body could see any corruption, it goes on to say in Acts chapter 2, around verse 31, about 34, that Jesus was raised from the dead. I think you should see that. This is taken out of Acts chapter 2, starting with about verse 31. He, seeing there, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we're all witnesses. Therefore, being right hand of God, exalted, having received of the Father the promise, the Holy Ghost, which you have now shed and see this day. So we see here that God raised him up out of hell. Not only was Christ become sin for us, but he went into our place, into hell. And on that third day, it says over in Romans 8 that the Spirit of God, the operation of God, took place down in hell. Now, over in Genesis, in chapter 3, verse 15, it said that he's talking to the serpent. He said, her seed, which is talking about Christ, shall bruise your head because you have now bruised his heel. Think about what Satan did when he caused Adam and Eve to sin that day, how he bruised the heel of God's divine will, of what God purposed that he wanted done on this earth. Did you ever try to walk with someone holding on to your heels? It's hard to walk, isn't it? For 4,000 years, that hung over mankind. There was no freedom from the bondage of sin, no freedom from spiritual death. But here come God, made in the flesh. His word became flesh and dwell among us. And God, on the third day, sends his Spirit of God down into hell, where Jesus became sin, separated from God, and took our place, and he's sitting in Hades. And the Bible here in Colossians says it was a spiritual operation of God. The other thing I want you to see before I preach a little bit here is that day in front of God, Satan caused his divine will. He made a mockery of it. He made a show of it in the Garden of Eden that man lost. That his creation, that he breathed his very life into the nostrils of his being, and he became a living being filled with the garment of life, had the rulership of all the earth. God breathed into him and gave him commandments to work the garden and to keep it and to protect it under that authority. All would be under your subjection. You would subdue all things. All would obey your command. And that day when Adam and Eve sinned, devil made a show in that garden. For 4,000 years, God waited to bruise his head. He said to the devil in Genesis 3:15, there's coming a day, my boy, that I'm going to bruise your head. Head is rulership. God's verifying that he knew that Satan was handed from Adam that authority to become a god of this world. We've blamed God for a lot of messes on this earth because Satan's the ruler of it. If you can grab that, it'll begin to renew your mind that some things God's not doing. There's a devil that's in the prince of this air, ruling by the lust of flesh, by the lust of the mind, through the children of disobedience. He's a ruler. He has the authority lower than the angels because it was man's authority. Now God's going to have his show. Are you ready for this? This is good. It said that through faith of the operation of God, it was through what? Faith. God's faith. God's walking out on the faith of his word that he spoke back in Genesis 3:15, 4,000 years prior. He tells the devil, 4,000 whatever plus, we don't really know, but I'll just go with 4,000. In God's eyes, 1,000 years is a day. So 4 days later, in God's eyes, is coming his show, his operation, his bruising. Yes, he destroyed the nature of sin. He broke that power of sin. And of Romans 6, verse 6, it says that nature of sin was broken over our lives that we should serve sin no more. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It goes on, it says, we buried with him in baptism. And through faith of the operation of God, he raised him from the dead. In verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The word triumph in there was how the Romans, when they went in and conquered a land, would show off the kings that they just conquered. And they would sometimes do what they did to Jesus, robe them and make fun of them and beat on them and spit on them and mock them. And so picture this. Satan had his day in the Garden of Eden. Now God's having his day down in Hades in Satan's kingdom. And that day, the third day, the Spirit of God came down into Hades, into hell. And that sin nature that Jesus became was ripped off of him. It said he was the first begotten of spiritual natural death. It said that that sin nature was crushed, circumcised off of him. God put his divine nature back into him. He was resurrected up and he triumphed over Satan. Satan lost his dominion that day. We as a church don't understand that. Not only was our nature of sin broken, but Satan's dominion and power over our lives and over this world was also broken that day. He triumphed on that day. Could you imagine Jesus celebrating in front of Satan's kingdom his victory that day, that he conquered all of Satan's kingdom, fulfilling Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. He was made a little lower than angels, but now he's crowned with glory and honor. And it's a greater honor than what Adam received. Let's look at that. I love this. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In Corinthians, it says that if the devil would have known that, he wouldn't have ever crucified him. This is verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom, God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Whoops, Satan made a mistake. His head was bruised that day. His dominion was bruised. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to get another picture of this. I want you to see this. In Ephesians 1, we'll start with verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from spiritual natural death and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. There again, it's confirmed by Paul that Jesus on that day was the first begotten of the dead. That nature of sin was torn out of him. The divine nature of God came back into him. He was resurrected up. He picked up his body. He went up into the third heaven, offered his blood unto God for an eternal redemption for us, and it was bought. But more than that, he conquered the devil and brought him to be nothing. He paralyzed, bruised his head. Notice this next verse. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only this world, but also which is to come. He has put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We're the body of Christ. Each one of us are members of that body. When Jesus was resurrected up and Satan's power was broken that day, it says that all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions of Satan's kingdom was now placed under Jesus' feet. And we are a part of that body. Members in particular. So where's the devil to us as Christians? Is he the prince of this air, roaming and destroying our lives? No, he's under our feet. We sing a song, he's under our feet, he's under our feet, now the devil's under our feet. Messed that up, but it's close. Are you following me? We need to grasp this so I can begin to teach you that we have authority in the name of Jesus, that everything that has a name, any principality, power, might, or dominion of the devil has been defeated. It came to nothing. It says in the Bible that if Satan knew that, he would have never crucified him, because, oh boy, he made a mistake when he put Jesus on the cross through man. Crucify him. Crucify him. And Jesus said, don't weep for me, women. Don't weep for me. Weep for your children, because you don't understand what you're doing to yourself. But notice this, far above. How far above are we, Satan? He's the prince of the power of the air, but we're far above all his principality, power, might, and dominion. Every name that is named, not only in this world, but also which has come. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Now notice this. In closing, it says this. It says he's far above all principalities and power. And he gave to him and set him in his own right hand and raised him. The same wording that's over in Hebrews that gave him subjection over the earth. Jesus not only has the authority over the earth, but he has it over all of Satan's kingdom. So his is an exact image of God, the resemblance of God's very likeness, and now he's ruling at the right hand of God, far above all Satan. So not only has our sin been broken, not only has our nature of sin been broken, the power of death that ruled us and separated us from God has been broken when we accept Jesus Christ. But as soon as we accepted Jesus Christ in our heart, the power of Satan was broken over our spirit, our mind, our bodies, and every facet of our life. 2 Corinthians goes on and says we can continue to walk in that triumphant. We can still continue to walk in the triumphant of what Christ provided that day. Let's look at Hebrews in closing. It says there, but we see Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by grace of God he should taste death for every man. And through becoming sin and tasting that death, he has now won victory for us in our spirit, our soul, and a body. And he's given us that authority in the name of Jesus. Remember when God gave Adam the authority, he doesn't give us that authority anymore. That authority to rule is now in the name of Jesus. Because why? Jesus earned that name, the name above every name. Listen, he's far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, every name. Whatever's coming into your life is killing, stealing, or destroying from your life today. Know that through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that was broken and the power thereof. If it has a name, it's under your feet. We don't have to walk in fear anymore. We don't have to walk in sickness anymore. We don't have to walk in intimidation anymore. We don't have to walk in rebellion anymore. We don't have to walk in those things that once ruled our life by the prince of this air, through the lust of our flesh and the lust of our minds, fulfilling the desires of our flesh. We don't have to walk that way anymore. Why? Because through the birth of Jesus, through being born again, we have received that same operation on our spirit. God came in. He operated on us through the Spirit of God. He removed that nature of sin. He took out that body of death. And now he's placed within us at the right hand of the Father through Christ and in Christ. And we're far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. And we're to be ruled in this earth. We are to become conquerors, the very righteousness of God. We need to quit being sin conscious. We need to quit being obligated to the devil and walk in his ways. We need to understand who we are in Christ and begin to walk in that triumph that he won on that day. And who saw that show? Satan did. Just like God watched Adam fall and sin that day, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, every principality, power, might, and dominion of Satan's kingdom watched defeat of Satan that day. Let's bow. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We need to begin to understand who we are in Christ. Not only have we been born of the Spirit, not only have we been broken from death, from spiritual death, not only should it not dominate over life, but anything that Satan's trying to cause to come against us that has a name, we also can begin to rule and to reign in this life in the name of Jesus. We have become the most conquering people on the earth. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the room. I thank you, Father, for that resurrection. Not only are you breaking the nature of sin and the power of death, but also bruising the head of Satan's kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin to establish that in our own personal life in the next few weeks to come, begin to understand who we are in Christ. Christ in us, a mystery, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.